Twitter for November. And could I please have a pledge? Matt, would you lead us, please?
Of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First motion I need is for approval of minutes from October 6th.
So moved.
Okay. All in favor? Opposed? I hear one in favor.
I can't touch the floor.
It's carried. Okay, Matt, with planning department, you're up first.
No.
Do you have any business? None. Okay.
Sorry.
Thanks for attending. Haven't seen you in a while. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Next up is County Manager Jack Wheeler to cover three separate items.
Sure. And I'll share my screen.
Is Kevin here?
So the first would be the ARPA request from the Conferences and Visitors Bureau. And I believe this was emailed to you all around budget time. But as we're bringing the other ARPA requests, we figured we'd bring this one this month as well. So essentially three requests. And I've talked to Scott about the first one, but the ones I'd like to focus on right now, because the restoration of the account balance, the fund balance in the room tax fund is, you know, kind of a budget decision for you folks. So while it's a good suggestion for you folks to consider from CVB, the ones that we'll focus on are the direct payments that they are proposing, which is, and you'll recall, obviously last year with room tax down, all of the agencies, especially CVB, CVB received about a 40% cut because of the where we projected room tax to be. What they're requesting is essentially two payments. One could be made this year, one could be made next year. $150,000 for the first and $200,000 for the second. And I can email this if you have it, you know, from months ago in your email or a month or two ago. I can re-email this to everyone. But for 2021, this is the breakdown of what they're proposing to spend it on. And so it would be direct spend related to hopefully improving tourism, visits, stays, marketing, those sort of things. So $45,000 for advertising, digital campaign, public relations. So they're proposing $80,000 for a 12-month contract for brand destination awareness, photography and videography to do those sort of things to improve website and marketing materials, and then research the Zardico data update. So that would be request one. And then for 2022, same sort of thing, broken down with trade shows and website added. So happy to take any questions. Now, I personally believe I have to confirm with Tammy, since ultimately we've chosen her to be the one who signed. Well, actually, I signed the certification, but she's the one who's, you know, does the interface with Department of Treasury. Because tourism was so negatively impacted, I believe you could make a very strong argument to use restricted funds for these instead of unrestricted. But that would certainly be your choice too, whether you want to go that way or not.
So in the meantime, I'd like to recognize Kevin Costello, who's here as director of the County Conference and Visitors Bureau, in case you have any questions. Okay.
Great. Pronounce of the breakdown, if you want.
Do you want to go to the... Sure. Yeah. So is there, before he goes on, is there any, have we spent any money on the restricted fund yet?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
I'm just curious out of that $9 million.
No, it wasn't real heavy, but while they're asking other questions, let me go back.
Okay.
I did bring printouts of the breakdown that Jack just presented. If anybody wants a hard copy of that, I'm happy to hand those out.
I think you should, to the committee anyway. Most of are right up front. Any other questions? Saw some. Fred?
Yeah, I was wondering how they're going to spend $150,000 between now and the end of the year.
So it really, it would be a carryover for them. So it would probably, it would certainly bleed, at least in my opinion, unless Kevin thinks, you know, they could allocate those funds.
We would send out RFPs and try to sign contracts on. Sign another contract, like for the PR part, at the same time next year for another 12 months.
Is that right? Did you get one? Adam, did you get one?
Kevin, I have one.
I'm sorry.
A couple up front.
Oh, yes, sorry.
And so you're restricted. The funding of the certified peer recovery assistant for OD mapping is the only thing for restricted. That's $30,000.
So how the 30,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
That's how much
we- How have our tourism numbers been this year? And have you seen a significant decline in people coming from out of the area?
So this year we've bounced back, still short about 20% in occupancy year to date. So third quarter data I have. The room tax collections are exceeded last year's, which was not too difficult to do. But we're still about 20% off. And so, you know, we've seen still an influx of visitors from places that we ordinarily had not seen them before, like New York City, that area, and Albany for the first time. So through our data, we're able to check that out, which provides us in the future, I think, more opportunity to go after new target audiences and new target markets. So bring back the base that we used to get, repeat visitation, and then add on to that in future years. So this year, about 20% off. Next year, hopefully, and the comparison is to 2019 and 2018 levels. Hopefully next year we'll be on par with that 2018, 2019 level and then exceed that as we move forward.
And how will you use these funds to, are you going to use them to change the types of programs that you do, enhance the types of programs, explain the difference between what you've been doing and how you're going to use these funds to draw more people?
Yes. So yes to pretty much of the first two questions. We're going to enhance what we're constantly doing, which is digital advertising in specific target markets for specific target audiences. But we'll be able to expand that with additional funds that we've not had to allocate, especially this year and in the past. But like the public relations campaign, that would be a first time thing for us where we would contract with a public relations firm who would be given very specific goals for us. In the past, we used regional partnerships like Finger Lakes Wine Country or Finger Lakes Regional Tourism Corporation. They bought into public relations campaigns that they're not doing anymore. So this would be a first time for us to actually hire a firm that would work with Dave DeGolier, who is our PR person on staff, to go after very specific things. So one of the goals we would outline is that we would want Keuka Lake to be recognized more for the wine industry than just the Finger Lakes itself to drive more visitation to the destination. So very specific goals we would outline in the contract with the PR firm.
Mr. Swackhammer had a question.
No comment. When we started this program many years ago, we said that there would be no Steuben County taxpayer money except for the beginning to be reinvested into this, that they work on their own budget. Now, are we putting Steuben County taxpayers' money into this from our COVID money?
I mean, it depends on how you parse it. That funding is one-shot funding. Obviously, all funds are taxpayer funds, so in essence, yes, but as you folks Thanks. Have framed it and looked at it, these are, you know, one-time funds for investment in things that will move the needle.
And I think too, Mr. Swackheimer, we have to recognize that we've been through an extraordinary period. Mr. Malter.
So let me just get this straight. We cut your funding sitting out there based on the lack of room tax that was collected by 40% last year, or for 21?
Yes, the room tax in 2020.
Okay, so yes. Where is your budget for 22 at this point? What is the projection of the room tax that will be allocated?
So still down from 2021, or still down from 2020, but up from 2021 and the...
We went about halfway, didn't we?
Yeah, it was about that. Let me find my sheet.
So my budget request for next year was a 20% reduction compared to 2018, realizing that the economy still hasn't come back in the tourism industry. And the reason for the ask from some of the federal stimulus funds is to balance that budget out without having to ask for room tax dollars in an effort to reinvigorate the room tax collection
and put the room tax dollars in the future. That's what you're trying to do here.
Is to put them in the reserve account, back into the reserve account for a rainy day fund, just like we needed to tap into.
So that's the essence of this whole thing.
Not necessarily the essence. Well, the goal of our organization is to bring more people to stay longer and spend more money in the community to create more taxation from people who don't live here.
So the problem I have is that you're requesting some of this for 21. 21 is almost history.
So well, I came and presented 4 months ago, and you know the timing is not necessarily on my end.
It's we've also honored other requests during 2021 because this is federal money.
Mm-hmm. And what's the purpose of this money? I want to go back to the purpose of this money. What's the purpose?
You listed it in the presentation.
Pardon me?
You listed it in the presentation.
Right, but the purpose of the American recovery money is what? To help organizations or whatever that were affected adversely by the pandemic, right?
And yeah, I cut and pasted out of the bill. That language.
Pardon me?
I cut and pasted out of the bill, the language that kind of gave me the impetus to come and ask for those dollars that, you know, eligible use of the funds are costs associated with responding to the COVID-19 public emergency or its negative economic impact, including but not limited to assistance to households, small businesses, and nonprofits, or aid to impact industries such as tourism, travel, and hospitality. And so I felt like, you know, it makes sense to come and ask for those funds.
Fits.
And that we fits justified that through statistics, through the room tax.
Ms. Fitzpatrick, you have a question?
I was just going to suggest that perhaps we consider one funding allocation since we are so close to the end of 2021. Let them see how the program works. And then, I mean, we do still have time and still have funds since we haven't used all of those restricted monies. So rather than agree right now to a funding increase for 2021 and 2022, pick one of them.
I think Kevin's always been very judicious about the way he spends the money, and he willingly backed off on his request earlier. And I just think he's done the presentation. He has a program, and I would endorse doing both 2021 and 2022.
Yeah, I agree with that also.
And he has to be able to budget and plan for this, right? You got to get started, even though it's the end of the year, almost. Like Kevin said, you know, he's brought this several months ago, and he's got to get the team has to get ready and be positioned so that when January, February come, they know what they're going to be doing.
Okay, Carol, did I hear that as a form of a motion?
Yes.
Seconded by Mike Hanna. Further discussion?
So I guess commenting on Mrs. Ferratello, while he has been very judicious in presenting stuff, I think he was also very strategic in ponying up the reduction on his own versus having us do it for him.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And they're suffering for it. Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Ready to vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Just for a point of information, I think Jack was looking up budget information.
Yes, so for in the budget that you folks have, or finance committee has moved on and you folks will see next week, CVB total was set in 2020 before the pandemic, was $765,000 allocation, and last year dropped again to $412,000, and this year is $685,500. And so we're estimating we're estimating about $900,000 in room tax, which brings us up closer to, for 2022, which brings up us up closer to the normal years, 2019 and prior.
That's the projection for 22. Mm-hmm. What is the projection for the balance of 21? So we sat out there, cut everything back to 400,000. What are we actually projecting in room tax for this year?
Year to date, according to this report, we've collected 831,000.
800 and some thousand?
Yeah, year to date.
So as far as this request goes, we could actually make it up with those additional room tax dollars rather than taking the funds out of ARPA.
But why would you do that?
Oh, because the money's there.
But so is, I mean, we've only used out of $7 or $9 million, $30,000.
But I'm saying you have a projection of 400,000 sitting out there, and we're actually going to receive over $800,000 in room tax money.
And that
we can make up this 350,000 out of the additional room tax.
Or it goes in reserve.
Well, and so, you know, just my opinion, and take it for what it's worth, on the additional, on the proposal to allocate ARPA funds for the rainy day, my opinion would be to use that surplus that we've gotten over budget projections to fill that directly from room tax instead of appropriating ARPA funds for that rainy day fund. Mm-hmm. So I short answer, I personally don't think it's a good idea to use ARPA funds to just put into the room tax reserve as a rainy day fund.
Right.
In my view, it would be more appropriate to make these direct allocations and then use whatever surplus we have in room tax above budget to build the surplus.
Right. Yeah. Which in normal times, that would be the case.
That's what we've done. Right.
Yeah. Kelly, you had an additional?
I just wanted to clarify, is 9 million of the ARPA is restricted money and 9 million is unrestricted? Is that correct? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. I still keep forgetting.
Yeah, rough numbers. Yep.
Big numbers.
Are we going to be getting a list of funds expended in both categories?
Yep, I'm keeping a spreadsheet so I can send that to you. You know, you've had four so far, but yeah, I'm keeping a tracking of that.
I think we saw it during finance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they review it monthly.
And how we have 2 years to spend three years to spend it.
Right. Thank you, Kevin. I think we've resolved the question.
Do you want me to stay for the other part on the?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Moving on to the next item, Steuben County Agriculture Society ARPA request.
Yep. Let me close out all the other windows I had open and pull up another one.
And tell us right off the bat whether it's restricted or not.
This would be unrestricted.
Oh, all of them. Okay. Yeah. So this request to Agriculture Society would be unrestricted funding.
Yeah. I don't think that you could make it. I mean, even though the fair was downsized significantly during the pandemic, I think we'd have a heck of a time trying to explain to Treasury why it would be restricted funding.
Okay.
So right here, if you can see in the middle, are the things that Steuben County Agricultural Society noted that they have on their long list of capital improvement projects that they're looking to make over the course of the next number of years. And the other piece of information that I think it was the reopening committee wanted, and we reported last month, is the fund balance that they reported that they have on hand at the time last month was approximately 143,000.
What was that, Jack?
143,000.
Thank you.
Is what the Agriculture Society had on reserve.
Yep.
So what is the total on this request? Because I don't see a grand total.
No, I didn't total it because I didn't think you wanted you.
It's equal to a blue sky.
And the way they presented it wasn't a total. The way Nick presented it to us, Nick Pelham, was here are things we have to get done and any help the county could provide through ARPA funding would be appreciated.
Looks like about 8.25.
$825,000.
What I've been told, all the electric poles, wires, everything in there belong to the fairgrounds, right? The Bath Village electric and gas. They just go to the transformer that supplies the fairgrounds, and all the poles, the wires, transformers, everything beyond that point belong to the fair.
Yeah, that entity would own it. Now,
makes sense.
Candidly, like any other large organization like that, like even the Village Utility does with us, there's a give and take and a help.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how many of those shared services they do, but yeah, in terms of actual ownership, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure of any shared services. There could be, for all I know. Yeah.
Kelly?
I just have a couple of comments on this, that the fairgrounds is certainly a very unique and wonderful asset that is within Steuben County. So from that perspective, I would like to see us agree to help. But my question would be, is do they have some set capital improvement project plans in place, and have they started any of the groundwork for any of these projects? I meant to ask Nick beforehand, and I had a meeting last night and did not have time to ask him.
Yeah, so my understanding was these are the plans, and we've kind of noted sort of the listing around that. And they are, you know, I talked to Nick about, you know, what is, you know, the priority. Essentially said they're all the priorities. So I'm not sure in what order they would tick that off. I know the electric upgrades
are necessary.
Yeah, was a big deal. So I personally, just in my conversation, and he may say different, but that was the sense that I got of the short list.
And I'm aware that the water and sewer upgrades are necessary too, because they are putting up some new buildings and new programming, and it's requiring a feed on the water and sewer.
I'll figure it out eventually.
Turn it to the right.
You got it.
Yeah.
So this is a question without an agenda behind it.
Yes. Oh. Now you're up.
So overall, I mean, what's the overall mission of the Steuben County Agricultural Society? And I mean, I understand in general terms what it is. And I know, like, for most of us, they put on the fair, and that's that's what we see. So I guess, would we sort of analogize them to the Conference and Visitors Bureau and the tourism agencies, except their mission is the same, to promote those things for agriculture in the county?
Primarily.
Dairy festival.
I would say so. And then those agricultural missions, and then the expanded use of the facility. They're always looking at expanded use of the facilities in times outside of the fair. And at times that's difficult, but Nick has gotten creative, yeah, and his board have gotten creative in trying to use that for more than just the fair week.
I think you're going to see more of a year-round use, maybe not winter, but other than just the third week of August.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was going with that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm looking at the list. I mean, it is, it's like, you know, maybe they need to be more realistic about what you're going to get, but I see things on there that occur to me to be like safety issues and things of that nature.
Yeah, and the only other thing I would add to this is the Agricultural Society and the fairgrounds itself are a key partner for the county in a lot of ways. We've used them not really during this pandemic, but all of our drive-through swine flu back, you know, 10 or 12 years ago, vaccination clinics were in those fair barns. And we had a lot of discussions with Nick and his staff about using that for vaccination clinics. We did do some testing sites there. Food Bank did a bunch of food distribution there. So, you know, in times of crisis or times of challenge, we do lean on them to help us out in providing services as well.
In the Agriculture Society, using the fairgrounds is a huge supporter of the 4-H program with the county, and also recreational programs for youth. Gary.
Jack, I thought we were building new highway garages to take care of that.
We are.
The vaccination and so on, drive-throughs.
Yeah, we are. But I was just mentioning that, using it as an example of in the past and then during the past year, how the county works with this organization to help fill some needs. So it might not be a pandemic, but if we have need of space, especially for any sort of drive-through event, you know, we use that for the Strong Kids, Safe Kids program that we have, you know, so there is a county connection okay. for some services. That was what I meant.
I just wanted to remind people that we are building garages or whatever you want to say, so people can drive through and be vaccinated and so on.
One we actually own and control.
Yeah.
Mr. Malter.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I have no problem helping out the Agricultural Society, but certainly not to the tune of $825,000. I can tell you that I could not support that.
Yeah, and I don't believe they expected that or thought that. They just wanted to show you the projects that they were working on and see, you know, if and what level of support there would be.
If we consider any, my suggestion is that we set a dollar figure, maybe not, you know, their total.
Well, it looks like the most important situation is the electric and the sewer and water. So those two projects, I think I would support. The rest of it, I would not support. So.
All right, Tess McKinley has a, you have to go over to the mic, Tess, so that our remote people can hear. Thank you.
So our 4-H program does use the fairgrounds year round, but we cannot use it in the winter because of the water and sewer situation. They're only turned on in the summer. The water and sewer isn't dug deep enough for people to be able to use the bathroom or any kind of running water there. So something just to note. And I know Nick and the New York or the Ag Society, they're all volunteers. There's no paid staff there.
Yeah, and to that point, they would anyhow, but my only suggestion would be that you stipulate that the funding be used exclusively for capital projects, mm-hmm. Which you can do, and they can provide report back to you or however you want to structure that.
Well, everything they've itemized on our list is capital project.
Right. So, but I don't doubt in knowing Nick, they wouldn't use it for any other, but just for the records, because so that when we go back to ARPA, or go back to Treasury and say, you know, what did we spend our money on? We could say it was these projects.
Hilda?
So I agree with John about the major stuff that looks like that's needed. And I also want to mention Cornell Cooperative Extension is going to do next year the new bathrooms in the building, the 4-H building.
Yes. Yeah,
because so they've raised the money and just couldn't do it this year because it cost too much.
Right. But it'd be nice to have proper water and sewer to greet the building. And
absolutely.
Make it work
so it just works
year round. Yes, Scott.
I guess one of the things I always do whenever we get these kind of requests is I'm fearful that if we say yes on one, what are the other organizations in the county that are going to come running with an open hand? And I can't think of anyone that compares to the county fairgrounds and the Agriculture Society. So I'm not as worried about, you know, setting a precedent with this and then having a bunch of other organizations ask for money. Like when in Kevin's industry, there's a number of organizations and a bunch of them wanted money. But in this one, I'm not as worried about it. I think for what they have, if they don't finance and fix the electric and the water and sewer, I don't know how they would continue. I mean, from a code standpoint,
right?
That's a concern.
They could meet some state opposition.
Yeah, when you have that much public attending. I mean, I would not be against saying, you know, $200,000, as long as it's all capital projects, that would be worthy of this.
Well, I would like to see it stipulated to those two project sitting out there. Yeah. So we know that they've been completed.
Yep.
And I don't know why we couldn't do that.
Yep. Are you stipulating electrical and water and sewer upgrades?
Yep.
Yeah.
That's more than 200.
Is that the feeling of the committee? Yeah. And this will go through finance.
I mean, I think that's a fair amount. Yep. We're not.
Yeah.
We're not killing it.
No. Yeah.
But it takes care of the major issue.
It helps them out.
It helps.
Gives them
it helps.
Another.
It helps. Yeah, their estimate for the electrical upgrades are $300,000.
And between that and the water sewer at 75, they need 375. We'd be paying for half of it.
Yeah.
Do they have a plan, at least to make a plan to how to finance these other projects?
Not saying the same thing.
I would have to ask that. They are always creative and they get a lot done. There are a lot of donors and those sort of things. I don't know their specific plan.
Now, this has nothing to do with the bathroom.
Even that's a separate. They did a fundraising cooperative extension.
Yeah, I know they did, but
fundraising campaign and raised enough money to do another bathroom facility,
right,
specifically targeted towards 4-H participants.
Yeah, so this would be the underground and into the building stuff that is focused on the building.
Yeah.
So it would hook up to this bathroom.
Yeah. Right.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'd like to see the water and sewer upgraded to the point that once they put up this building that they've got a connection. Otherwise, it doesn't do us any good.
Well, next thing, they'll need to heat the building for the wintertime.
Can't have cold toilet seats.
Radiant heat.
Is there an expression on what they spend the money on? Because when are we giving money for the electric and the sewers, and then they won't spend it
outside? Don't you think our motion is directed specifically towards those projects, and they will have to comply with that, and they will have to prove to us afterwards that
provide you with a report,
right?
A breakdown of the allocation, how they spent.
I move it
for
375,000.
No,
well,
200.
We were talking 375.
No,
I wasn't.
375 is the total of the two.
The electric and the sewer and water. Let that come out to 100 and.
It would be 375.
375 and 200 would pay for more than half of it.
He has electrical upgrades there twice.
You got electrical to the fair house.
That's just
talking about the electrical upgrades.
That's a building electrical.
115,000. 75,000.
Okay, I'll go with that.
And I didn't hear the amount.
To what?
200.
200.
I'll second.
And that is targeted for.
So that's covering
electric and water and sewer.
I think if you just specify electric, in my opinion, electric or water and sewer, then that gives them the ability to do either the fair house or, you know, pay for, you know, a good portion of the on the grounds,
I guess,
or do water and sewer.
It gives them, we need to do the water and sewer in order to take care of the new bathrooms. And so I think that should be top of the priority situation.
And we could communicate that.
Or they'll be sitting out there in the outhouses.
Exactly.
Yeah. So that'd be 75.
We'll call them ice houses.
So that'd be 75 for water, sewer, and then
125
for electric.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
I thought you said 375.
We're going to take a vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Hearing none? Carried. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for the direction.
Oh, thank you. And then the last item that I have, I sent an email to you folks the other day. And after the last time we chatted, I think it was back in March, we had two ongoing cases of animal cruelty that the SPCA was housing. Obviously, we put out information put out an RFP, and the farm sanctuary, we only had one applicant.
It was for small animals, mostly.
Yeah, and but Farm Sanctuary is working since that last meeting. There was, you know, with the bull and some of these other things, they worked with those other agencies. But again, those costs continued. The large case, the Jones case, has been resolved as of the end of August. So there are no ongoing charges for that case. I'm going back and forth with the district attorney's office since the other day about the Burdick case. And it looks like that's approaching the end too. We just don't have a specific date. So if you recall back in March, they netted the 10 grand that came in and then the charges that remained from 2020, and you allocated around the same amount in the 30s. And so for the remainder, so that 10 grand that you folks give them as the base payment for 2021 was already netted off of the previous charges. So for quarter one and quarter two of 2021, it's $36,047. And that would make them whole for the first and second quarter. And I do have an email out to them after speaking with Robin of the estimated charges of third and fourth, but they will be significantly lower because the Jones case did resolve during the third quarter.
And verdict is close.
And verdict is close. And from a practical payment standpoint, you know, unless you change the budget, there's going to be another 10 going to them
in January,
at the beginning of January, which would net off any, you know, that would come off or be a credit against any other charges that when they bill for the rest of the year.
And we'd be helpful that we don't have any pending cruelty yeah. cases, that the old ones would be resolved and we don't have any new ones. Maybe we can get ourselves back on keel. Fred.
They just did have a new case in which a fairly large number of animals were taken into to the SVCA.
A lot of small animals.
They were small animals, yes.
Which is not, thankfully, as large of a charge as
cows and horses.
Yeah.
Right. No, these were
small big animals.
Sheep.
Could any of those animals be directed to the Wilkins RFP?
They only have horses on their RFP. My understanding, the largest animals in this current round was a goat and a sheep.
Yeah.
Well, it was mostly cats and dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I would think our 10,000 contract allocations should cover a good portion of that starting in January.
And as we've seen in normal years, mm-hmm. that 10,000 actually, they didn't spend all of it and they built up
right.
a credit.
Yeah, we did have a fund balance on that, but
yep.
that disappeared with these other
yep.
severe cases we had.
And this would be contingent fund.
Yeah, the 36,000 would need to come from contingent with approval of this committee and also go before finance. So,
and that covers the rest of the year?
Yes. Well, no, this is only first quarter and second quarter.
First
this is overages.
Yeah, and I have an email out to the SPCA about estimated third and fourth quarter, which will be lower than this.
It should but be.
It yeah. And so then the question is, you know, when that comes in, if it's paid after the first of the year, you can net the 10 that you give them from that, mm-hmm. which hopefully covers.
Right. We would probably deduct that 10 on contract out from whatever third and fourth ended up being, and then have to make
it. So we already know we're going to eat up the 10 grand based on this last situation. So maybe we should just allocate more money right now.
Well, you also have that extra 25 that is built into that budget that really just goes, you have extra money in there for cases. We exhausted all of that as well in this year.
That's built into the 22 budget?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So right now you need a motion for $36,047.
Yes.
I'll make that motion.
A second.
Okay. Thank you. Everybody clear about where we are with status? Looking a little brighter.
Thank you.
Yeah, thankfully. Okay, motion made. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, carried. Thank you.
I did notice in your email that they didn't take my suggestion to send them to the meat hook. Oh, they went to Farm Sanctuary.
It doesn't cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would their mission?
That's cruel.
It's practical.
That's reality.
I think for any, Mr. Nichols, I think for any.
You think about that every time you eat a hamburger, Hilda.
I do not.
Is that cruel?
That didn't comply with the mission of the SPCA.
Buying at Wegmans is a lot different than.
Okay, next order of business. The Steuben County Conference and Visitors Bureau designation as a tourist agency. Jack, you want to speak to that? Or Kevin's here also. Yep. It's a annual designation that we routinely make.
Yes, I come back every year.
Understand what it is? I think we do. I think we're all familiar.
It's a necessary document for us to apply for I Love New York matching funds.
Right.
I'll move it.
Motion? Okay. Motion and second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Kevin. Okay, any other business to come before the committee, please?
Jack, I don't know if you want to speak to it, but that letter that we got from the supervisor in the town of Pulteney regarding short-term rentals and then Matt's
very informative response on how they've done it in his town. I think it would be helpful if everybody heard the story.
Yeah, sure. So Mark Illig, who's the town supervisor of Pulteney, contacted the chairman and I, asking if there's something that the county could do regarding regulation of short-term stays, and specifically about occupancy and some of the things that happen there, where, you know, 10 people might show up to a place that can hold four. You know, it sounds like it's a quality of life concern for a lot
of. And also, do they have septic systems sized properly?
Yeah.
Absentee owners, if there's a neighbor that has an issue with a wild party, do they even know who they can call that owns the place? And it's not just lake properties. They're Pulteney's even having it up on, you know, the hinterlands where wine country is.
Yeah. So we talked, and I forwarded to both Matt and Kevin, and they both provided very good responses. And Matt was reaching back out to the town supervisor. It really does come down to a local codes and zoning issue.
Mm-hmm.
But Matt, you know, in some of his, yeah, if you want.
Yeah, it'd be helpful. Because one of the questions Mark asked is, I'm sure this happens across a lot of towns. And so rather than having a bunch of hodgepodge local laws, can we have a countywide type of system? And according to the attorneys, they always are the wet blankets. They said, no, yeah. It has to...
Yeah, so
the- oh, wait a minute, Matt. Can you complete your statement, Mr. Chairman, about the wet blanket? No, but what was the objection on the countywide?
It has to be a local town ordinance,
law. We don't have zoning enforcement authority for the towns.
Yeah,
we don't do code enforcement on a countywide basis.
Right,
Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, the best we could do is develop like a model local law and then encourage adoption. So we've had discussions with STC and actually the county planners with Skyler and Shamung to develop like a regional local law. Not a lot of traction has happened on that. But part of my response, I'm actually the planning board chair for my town, and we've fairly successfully dealt with this in the past 2 years. With a short-term rental permit. Basically what that permit does is the owner of the property at the short-term rental would apply for the permit through the local planning board or town board, however the town has it regulated. And they would work specifically with the code enforcement officer to address all of the issues that Mark basically brought up. The code enforcement officer would do a site visit, make sure that the septic was right-sized. The permit application would require them to designate a local point of contact and disseminate that to all of the local neighboring properties. We have a locally adopted noise ordinance, so that would be enforced after 10 p.m. And I mean, all properties are sort of held to that standard as well, but short-term rentals would be included in that. And any violation of any of the stipulations of the permit would result in revocation of the permit. It's a biannual application process. The applicant, after 2 years, if everything's good and they've operated their short-term rental in 2 year period, they come to us for reissuance. They pay the fee, which is a nice small revenue generator for the town as well. And they get reissued their permit without the code enforcement officer's site visit. The site visit was like a one-time upfront initial visit, unless there's any changes or renovations that were made to the property, but they would have to sign off on that. So through that, we've actually fairly successfully, we've gotten a lot of permits, and it gives a lot more control to the town. So I'd be more than happy. I told Scott and Jack this, and I'm planning on reaching out to Mark to follow up and provide, you know, a sample permit application. I'd be more than happy to kind of maybe flesh this out in a more easily adoptable fashion for other towns to use. Because right now it's fairly specifically tailored to.
So could I ask you a question?
Yeah, go for it.
So are you permitting every rental property in your township? Is that required?
So if you're a resident, I mean, if you meet the definition of how we define a short-term rental.
Short, this is only short-term.
This is short-term. This isn't like a hotels or anything like
not
that.
Not apartments.
This is apartments. Yeah, this is if you own your home and you're renting it. And we cap it, and we cap number of residents per bedroom. We even go so far as to regulate parking requirements. You only allowed like one car, one space for every two residents.
So Matt, how's it working out? How long have you had this? And how
we've had it for a little less than 2 years. It's worked out really well. I mean, we've had a lot of compliance. We haven't had a lot of complaints. What's nice is if we do have an issue, it gives us the ability to deal with it, to have to either revoke the permit or, because they've attested that they're going to abide by a certain set of requirements with the town. And if they violate those, then it gives the town more teeth. One issue that there's two main issues right now. It is a heavy burden on code enforcement, to be honest. Our code enforcement officer is regularly going to these site visits, and that requires a lot of time, of his time. Secondly, is it doesn't really regulate the amount of short-term rentals in districts. We're looking at doing that through zoning, at capping, specifically in the lakefront districts, capping the amount of short-term rental permits that we issue in lakefront districts, which I think you can do legally, still working on that. But so you would only issue, I guess, 10 permits in this district, super arbitrary number. But and then because at a certain point, Hammond Sports experiencing this to a degree, certainly, there are certain streets in Hammond Sport where half the homes are short-term rentals, and it starts to affect community character. And that's the opposite of what you really want. So those are the two issues that we're really dealing with. But in the short term, it really gave us some teeth to work with as far as regulating them at the local level.
What happens if people that are doing it don't come to the planning board and get a permit? Is it up to the codes enforcement to enforce that?
It's like anything. I mean, it's like if you have a house that's violating a junk car ordinance, you know, you drive by, you see it. If we're notified of a property that's operating a short-term rental and they don't have a permit, yeah, our code enforcement officer will address it. Obviously, you can't catch everybody. And we've had a great amount of voluntary response. We sent a letter to all the residents when this began saying that if you offer a short-term rental, you will be required to receive a permit in X amount of time to continue to use that property's short-term rental. So it's a biannual amount. It's $200. It's $200 for the permit, and then they'll have to renew permit renewal every 2 years. It's about $100 a year to operate a short-term rental.
I would think trying to add the density restriction would be a hot button, especially in the lake area, because people that are already doing it now, and then they don't make the list of the 10 that are approved.
That's
going to be difficult.
Yes, there is some sensitivities, and that's why we haven't really, there are some sensitivities on who was first to the table, right? And then other people don't get to eat because they were just a little late.
Yeah. That was never a problem for me. I was always first at the table.
Steve, especially for the lake, I mean, people have been renting out cottages forever. What's sort of generating the new concerns at this point?
I think Mark's concern really was just, I think the town's ability to deal with any issues that might arise. Septic issues is absolutely a concern. I mean, you can't have a 4-bedroom house that rents to 12 people. The septic system is, I can guarantee, not designed for that.
Is this a new thing? I mean, is the density issue, is that something that's come about recently, or is that starting to pay attention to?
At a certain point, the scales tip to there's so many rentals in such a concentrated area that, I mean, there's no full-time residents, and community character starts to get affected.
And I think, with the advent of the online platforms, it's become much easier, where there was a barrier for how much work a person was willing to invest or pay a broker or something like that with Airbnb, Vrbo, HomeAway, those sort of things. You can list it and get it rented pretty easily.
So. And I think just recently with the pandemic, a lot of people, rather than have to travel out of state, they rented at the lake.
Mr. Mulder.
Yeah, I guess my question is, with the code officer, are they having a success in enforcing these regulations? Because I know through the court system in my district, they're not even taking them to court at this point, simply because they can't get any satisfaction out of the court system. Yeah. So whatever you're doing, I don't know, you're just spinning wheels down there. So,
yeah, I mean, we haven't really had a lot of issues arise where we've had to even question revoking a permit. And to be honest, if an applicant comes for a permit application, there's not really a much basis. As long as they meet all of the safety requirements and the septic requirements and the parking requirements and egress, ingress, et cetera, there's not really a lot of reason to not issue the permit. And it's kind of like, all right, now you have the permit. It's up to you to abide by it. And if you don't, you know, that's where we have these, you know, mechanisms in place to suspend it potentially. But I haven't encountered that yet. So,
but that's a real, you know, real time. And a lot of code enforcement officers have trouble that they don't have teeth because the judge in their town
exactly
isn't doing anything. So it makes enforcement really hard.
Mm-hmm. So to wind us up, a question in that our official Steuben County response to Mr. Illigan Pulteney will be local law.
Mm-hmm.
And my only suggestion, I don't know how the committee feels, but perhaps the same outreach should be done to every town around the lake, around Keuka Lake specifically. And then also offering it for the other communities that are off the lake through your website. And you'll be using Southern Tier Planning.
So my plan initially is to, yes, reach out to Mark. I'm going to take the permit application and the local law that I passed in my town that I feel is very fairly successful, and kind of omit, you know, references to towns and tailor it so that it's more easily adoptable. And I will offer that to Mark. Then I'll work with Chelsea Robertson at STC and maybe try to, you know, get a little bit more professional input from other voices and develop something that's, yes, and run it past Jen, of course.
I would want any formal response that you make with those points
for sure
endorsed by the county attorney and reviewed by
the
county attorney.
Once something is actually developed, I'll post that. We can have that posted on the website, and I can absolutely do I have an email list for most if not all of the town clerks and town supervisors that I can provide.
And you mentioned that Mr. Illigan, you already had a phone conversation with him, so he's totally aware of.
This is just me, but I actually haven't reached out to him yet.
Okay.
Back
for it's going to take some time to pull this together
right.
And have it reviewed and out. So I would just say that you should reach out to Mr. Ill.
Oh, for
so
sure.
He's not cooling his heels for 4 weeks waiting for the response.
Oh, no. My initial response would be to provide what my town has specific to him, because that's the initial inquiry came from him. So
does this law have a proposal? Does it have any mechanism for the county to collect sales tax and room tax off in this?
No, that would be a completely separate issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, it could, so if we have problems with enforcement, I mean, it could provide, we could work with municipalities to help provide data of registered.
That would definitely be helpful if there's a permitting process, because that's one of the questions that you all had with regard to the use and occupancy tax being extended to Airbnb and VRBO, so that would probably help.
We just asked the towns to provide us that, provide finance.
I was just thinking of a way to collect some of that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If could use this as a mechanism to get the information we need.
Follows the permit process, that would be helpful in providing us with provider information so that we can follow up with the room tax.
Yeah.
Okay. No action required. Good discussion. Any other business? All right. Motion to adjourn.
Move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Period. We're adjourned.
Closer to 11 than you thought.